and it's perfect. But that's a problem, because if guys were actually perfect, girls really wouldn't know what the fuck to do. So she spends the whole thing trying to make sure, like, he doesn't sleep with her. He's like, I'll be gentle. She's like, I don't want to have sex. And she, like, runs with him. He's like, I love you. And it's really awkward because he's perfect. It totally screws her whole life up because he's perfect.
Do girls listen to this podcast?
Do men listen to the podcast get laid? No. So, I mean...
Men who run it do.
No, yeah. No.
As of last Saturday, Ant Race...
I'll fuck you out. Yes. Stand up comedy.
I don't get it laying. I don't deserve the one.
You get it. I'll fuck you.
I don't want to be boy raped.
You unlock this door with the key of geekdom. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of word bubbles. A dimension of panels. A dimension of gutters. You're moving into a land of both comics and trades. Of heroes and indies. You've just crossed over into the Mild-Mannered Podcast.
Welcome to the Mild-Mannered Podcast.
And we have guests!
I was going to say my name first, you dick. We could announce the guests.
You know what,
we go ours first, okay?
Oh, okay.
I am a Mild-Mannered photographer, Alex Dirty.
Well, you know what?
Munchos.
Oh, big deal.
Oh.
You know what? I think my friend next to me has something to say, right? Don't you? What's your name again?
My name's... the mild-mannered man on the street, Sam Riedel. And right next to me is mild-mannered Kanye West.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for you.
Yo. Yeah. I'm going to let you finish your introductions. I'm going to let you finish.
But I want to introduce you to these guests first before we even get to find out who that host are.
I'm just being a good host as in introducing my guests first.
No.
You know, that's polite.
No. You know what?
Now, John Storm, guys, sit down
we have guests. We have guests, guys. At the end, after we've announced ourselves.
Okay. I feel like you guys already want me to leave.
Yeah, after the last time.
Why are Mommy and Daddy fighting?
Because they're going to have two Christmases this year.
They're not fighting. They're having a discussion. A discussion.
Double presents.
Yes. Presents for all of us. We have Aaron Gold and Andrew Durso and girlfriend.
I'm Aaron Gold.
Girlfriend to the podcast and just
I'm the girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm the girlfriend to the podcast. I put out for everybody. Woo!
Yeah, the internet.
I'm Alex Erdy.
No, I'm Alex Erdy.
No, I'm the real one.
No, I'm the real
Please
one.
Stand
Which
up.
One are you going to shoot,
up.
Audience? Which one are you going
to
shoot?
There's only one way to be safe. We have to shoot
yes.
them both. Thank God.
I'm the only Sam Riedel because no one else wants to be me.
You're like Peter Chris.
I want to be you. You have awesome hair. I can understand.
You're like Lars Ulrich from Metallica.
Ooh. So,
yeah.
Hear that, Lars?
Oh.
Who even names a kid Lars?
So we have a nice little podcast set up for you today. We're going to try something interesting today, and from the trades coming out this week, we're going to go over what we like and what we think is crap.
But you guys, the trades list was my favorite part of the podcast. Come on.
You said it sucked.
Wait, you are a hypocrite, sir.
Yeah.
That was
but yeah, apparently people, that's the one thing that's sort of putting people off, which is understandable, I guess.
Because we were saying before, like, sometimes we've had lists of trades that have been
people don't
crap.
Like, just, people want to hear us just, you know.
If people wanted to hear about the trade paperbacks, what website would they go to?
Well, they could go to
iFanboy.com.
Or Comicology.com.
Or
they get a boyfriend who's a nerd, but that's another option.
Yes, we're all guys here, so that's not like
oh,
an option
for anyone. Surprise, surprise!
Yeah.
So just because
look at my
penis. I mean, we could just find a nerdy guy to help us find stuff.
That was me. So
to recap,
yeah.
For those of you listening at home, we're streamlining the picks this week, giving you what's good, what is shite.
And I'm eating a cheese and doodle.
Yeah, that's gonna sound great on audio.
We have cheese and doodles.
Yeah.
So
we're very excited.
Let's start off with you, Alex. What did you find interesting?
Okay, so there are a couple of interesting things that that I've been excited for. First of all, we have Brian K. Vaughan writing the Escapist trade paper. Like, it came out in a trade paperback, and it's a reprint. And this is inspired by the Michael Chabon Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay. And
what is it called?
The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay. And every time I say it, or someone else says it within 10 feet of me, I came in my brain.
Okay.
Just a little.
Brain juice.
But now this is it's back in print now. This is the soft cover, and so I'm definitely gonna pick that up when I get the chance.
For sure.
Or The other thing that I saw that seemed really interesting was reading the actual description of it. Insomnia Cafe.
I heard about this, actually.
And it's by M.K. Perker. It's Dark Horse Published. And it's called... it's basically... Peter Kalinske was among the world's foremost experts on rare books, with a top position at a prestigious auction house, until black marketers took an interest in him.
That sounds fascinating.
What's with all these indie titles? Marvel!
Calm down. I'll get to Marvel soon. But, you know, basically he finds this place called the Cafe and meets this girl named Angela, and she shows him the archives where books currently being written are somehow on the shelves.
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard this is really cool. This is definitely something I would vote for.
Yeah, and definitely seems like something that Sam would like. I don't know why that it should be something like, but it just sort of...
Well, my dad is a rare
book. Yeah, I guess that's sort of that sort of
antiquarian thing. But honestly, I mean, I grew up around that shit, and it's getting really old. So, I mean, I will take a look at it and everything. But,
okay. Well, right. Okay. The
I can see the appeal.
Skipping over the indie, then now
we can hit some Marvel stuff.
Yeah, my big excitement for Marvel. First of all, Criminal Omnibus hardcover, written by Ed Brubaker and art by Sean Phillips.
The Brubes.
Criminal is amazing. It's an amazing series. I've read volume 2, and I'm tempted actually to pick up this omnibus, which is volumes 1, 2, and 3.
If Marvel editors were all whales, and you were starving in Alaska, you need to cut one up to get its rare brubber.
Okay.
About midway through that, I was lost. In the frozen tundra. Like, when is the rescue ship going to get here and take me away from
this joke? Are you making the SS punchline?
Are you making like one of those Tantos jokes from like Star Wars where you have to like cut it open to sleep inside or something?
Because I don't have a lightsaber if that's what you're saying.
And if you were in the deep south and they didn't have. You
don't make a lynching joke.
Yeah,
Aaron,
and you
please.
Wanted to go to the bathroom, you'd have to use the Jeff Johns.
Yeah. Okay. Save some of those jokes for later, because Colonel Omnibus, great crime noir, fantastically done by Ed Brubaker, and then also Terror Inc., Apocalypse Soon. This is apparently this guy named Skullface, our charming Mr. Terror, the cursed, undead, rotting, immortal entrepreneur is back in action.
Oh?
And,
that doesn't sound Japanese at all.
Brutally ripping off his own limbs and borrowing other people's body parts come in very handy for the lucrative purposes of assassination.
Now I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
That's straight fucked up.
Yeah, it's a Max. Oh, you it's have a Marvel nice Max series.
Pinky, I want it.
Yeah.
That could easily devolve into.
It looks like
all
he, it looks like he has.
Aaron,
actually, it looks like he actually
chin.
Has Dr. Doom's arm here.
Everybody likes my chin.
Yeah. That seems like. Not even an anti-hero book that just seems
like a villain. Yeah, it's
yeah,
kind
no,
of
it's
fun.
Following along,
I guess. It seems,
I've never heard of
it
this.
It seems like by its nature, it will be short.
The cool thing, though, it's written by David Lapham of Straight Bullets fame and of Silver Fish, which is both great crime novels as well.
I remember that fellow.
So yeah, those are my picks. I have nothing really negative to say, although I could look at the sheet.
Oh, I have things that are negative to say, but I will not be a Debbie Downer right now.
Okay, I'm going to I will.
But you'll be
I will
Debbie,
let's,
right?
Let's appease Aaron in his deprivation of Marvel. We can talk. I guess we could talk about the trade paperback of Marvel Zombies 3 coming out. No. Yes.
Okay.
Here's the thing about Marvel Zombies.
Thank you. I'm just gonna.
You know. Back. You know that when you're like, man, I've got a good idea of something to cook. I'm gonna put spaghetti sauce, ground beef. And this entire ham into one pot. And you're like, man, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to do it once. And then you have it, you're like, eh. And then you say, that didn't work. I'm not going to do it again. It was fun for the novelty, but I'm not going to do it again.
That's all right.
You don't start writing sauce plus meat plus ham 5.
It's kind of like the
you
Saw
learn.
Series.
The what?
Kind of like the Saw series. The
except the second
okay,
time.
But the second through 6, I think, is just you're beating a dead horse.
Okay, now I can be negative about something because I don't see how Saw 1 was okay. It was.
No. Because it was new, that's why. But
not because it was new. It was because it had a flashback in flashbacks in flashbacks. You can't have a flashback about someone
you
else's flashback.
You said the magic word, damn it.
Aaron, I think there's a crucial part missing to your analogy. You decide to do it the second time. Instead of using a giant ham, you use squirrel meat. It gets Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
I get the joke
good.
The first time.
And then the third time on, you just use orphans.
Right. Yeah. You use orphan squirrels.
But we're talking about the
that could mean,
we're talking
could
about
mean,
the maliciousness
do we,
being
do we,
gone.
Do we like Nova?
Nova yes. is Nova. Interesting, and
do
I wanted
like
to read it.
I'm sorry. Do we like Green Lantern? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Marvel Green Lantern, yes.
Marvel Green Lantern.
Basically. Shiny Green Lantern.
Do we like Green Lantern without any of the coolness? Hey, kids, you know how that one cool ring does a lot of shit? Well, we don't have that anymore, but look at this fruity helmet. Also, he can fly. You know, I'm good. I don't know.
You know the helmet's cool because it's got a carnation on it.
Well, first of all, let's also just say, like, you know.
I'm sorry, but in Marvel Zombies, when Nova is the only guy with any sense, you back the fuck away from that comic. Because he's still being a douchebag.
Well, the only exposure, honestly, I have to Nova
is Marvel Fat Days. That's not
what I don't even have that. There was like some shit that was going on. He was integral to the cosmic portion of Infinite Credit Bird. But I saw something in Wizard years ago where Nova's flying around in the distant reaches of space, and there's nobody there except a voice in his head. He's an interstellar schizophrenic, just kind of zooming around the spaceways trying to fix Nova's...
Pardon me. Schizophrenic.
Yes. Schizophrenic, yes.
I have a question.
There's only one E.
Wasn't Nova in, like, the team of the new Warriors that blew up Stanford?
No, that was not Nova.
No,
that was
Speedball.
But wasn't he in them that he left when they did that?
No, I think he just bailed when Civil War broke out.
I think he just bailed
He was in the New Warriors, though.
He was like, wow, Sentry's leaving. I guess we'll just rip off him and sleep, right. too.
Well, it's just, how fucking important can you be cosmically when you have to, like, start a reality TV show for superheroes on Earth?
There's not TV on other planets, I mean.
Now I'm thinking of, like, the Sentry leaves and is like, okay, guys, you know, this has been fun, but I'm gonna leave, too. And Nova is just, like, the tag-along. That's it. Yeah, man! Fuck this!
Nova,
I'm gonna go.
Hey, wait! Don't go.
Nova is like an entire Green Lantern Corps made up of only Guy Gardeners. if there was one of you contrasted to cool guys, we'd be like, "Oh, he's such an asshole. I love him." But when there's just like a flock of assholes flying your way, wearing gaudy helmets, just that. Basically have notes tagged onto them saying, I'm not important. I don't care.
It's actually not a helmet. It's just very nicely styled hair.
Okay.
He's an alien.
Yeah, let's go. We've actually attacked Marvel today.
Yeah.
So that's what Builder Marvel needs.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Not quite.
We'll get to some later.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. You will find out soon, too, listeners. But,
Oh, bye.
Moving along. Sam, why don't you talk about what you felt offended by?
Oh, this offends me on a spiritual level.
It's more than just a physical level.
Oh, I don't even think I can get into heaven anymore. I've been tarnished. Not that I could get into heaven in the first place. Batman, the Battle for the Cowl companion trade paperback. Daddy's Battle for the Cowl.
That's only because Batman and Battle for the Cowl are not allowed to legally marry yet. But they are companions.
In Maine, they can't live together in the same house. Fuck you, Maine, by the way. Anyway, no, Battle for the Cowl, because apparently the multi-title All Batman Books crossover wasn't enough. Now we need a companion trade paperback to explain what the fuck is going on. That's when you know, heads up, that's when you know you can't tell a story.
When you need someone else to be like, okay, we're gonna dumb it down for everybody.
You have 7 fucking titles. last I counted off the top of my head, you have like, what do you have? Detective Comics, you have Batman, you have Batgirl, that's still coming out, you have Robin, you have Nightwing, you have Batman and Robin, a title you made up just so you could tell a story called Battle for the Cowl.
But yet you
and
have
you
a
need
problem
something
with,
else.
Didn't you have a problem with Brand New Day?
I did have a problem with Brand New Day.
I always have a problem with Brand New Day.
But I'm just saying,
Brand New Day got old. It's Brand Old Day now,
okay.
And it should be
just
put down.
Just wait a second. But you're complaining about all these multiple titles.
No. I don't have a problem with multiple titles necessarily. I read one of the first Batman stories I remember reading along with my dad. Was like, not ever, but I know I say that all the time. Like, one of my first stories ever, guys.
When I was your age, I read that Adventure Comic books, and there was a guy with a rocket ship,
and his name was Shazam.
And we were thankful for Nova.
I remember my dad and I were really excited when Bruce Wayne Murderer was coming out. No, we were totally amped for that, and and that was coming out in, Nightwing and Detective Comics and Batman and Robin and everything. And Birds of Prey when that was still a thing. And,
What did Rob Glass... What did Rob try to take a shot of?
What did you guys just drink?
What?
What? Are you...
Oh, crap. Twilight fans.
Run! Don't want to talk to us about shiny things.
So... Rob's
so sweet.
Let me go
hair,
on.
Rob's hair is getting moose.
As I glisten in the sun, let me...
Run! They're preaching abstinence!
And staring at people while they sleep.
Okay, so...
Right.
Sam but doesn't like... Batman.
But I don't have a problem with multi-title crossovers, necessarily. I can enjoy them. But I have a problem with, an epic story trying to be told across all these titles.
Including one-shots.
And then, and one-shots and everything. And then we need, another trade paperback in order to
Here's the pamphlet. Here's the pamphlet. There you go.
Yeah. Here's the Cliff's Notes. Because either you're true or you're not.
It's like what Spark Notes does with Shakespeare.
Batman R.I.P. They did the same thing for Batman R.I.P. Because,
because Grant Morrison referenced way too many things that nobody has any idea what's going on.
And so, let's move on.
Is there anything else we'd like to talk praise or attack?
I would. I've got one thing I'd like to attack.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
Brace yourselves!
Exiles, Point of No Return trade paperback.
By
Jeff Parker?
This is not
I'm going to pretend you said Chris Claremont.
Because it's not Chris Claremont.
No, don't worry.
Actually, it would have been nice if you said that before we started recording.
Yeah.
Well, I finally
Exiles, Point of No Return. If only. Exiles are the dumbest fucking comic I can possibly think of. It's a team who are like, the other universes aren't right. Let's get to fixing them.
Wait,
First of all, mind your own fucking business, Exiles.
Does this mean that they're worse than Nova?
Nova is at least pointless. The Exiles are both pointless and offensive and break the rules of everything. Also, Chris Claremont uses them as his butt puppet. I fucking...
Wait. Do you mean by butt puppet, do you mean that he puts issues of Exiles...
I mean that he takes a butt, carves it out of wood, and then says, I wish it were a real boy.
Okay. I'm not... Okay. I'm going to attempt to go
puppets.
Where you just went, and it's a dark place with no oxygen.
I want a bloodshot.
Who wants to make a Jeff Dunham
joke? Yay! We're drinking blood tonight!
Ew. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because I've got a thirst for blood when I fucking talk about Chris Claremont and how pointless his writing still is.
Okay.
Even when he doesn't.
Okay.
So just going back over what was positive again.
Yes.
I
forgot that we should probably be mentioning also the price of the positives at least, because I know we're
because no one cares about the prices of the negatives.
Yeah, no.
Would you pay $20 for Exiles? I wouldn't. I'd get paid $20 to read maybe the first couple pages, then we could negotiate from there.
Let's move on.
I would like to.
11:30, so.
All right.
Ultimates.
I would like to draw people's attention to the new Sherlock Holmes Volume 1 collection.
They made a comic out of that movie?
Thanks. Thanks for that. You just made me die.
You have to do it.
We got to pause for a second. We're all getting shots of blood.
Is this alcoholic blood?
No.
No, it's just.
I thought I was getting alcohol.
No.
It'll taste.
Okay.
Like
okay. So,
like, Chris.
Let's say all the cookies.
Okay.
What should we say when we toast?
To Twilight.
No.
To Robert Pattinson.
I can toast to that.
Is he with Kristen? Is he not with Kristen? Who knows?
To Sugar.
To Robert Pattinson. May he choke on a gigantic cock and die.
Ted the Buck. To Ted the Buck.
Sparkling in the sun.
Just sparkling in the sun. Huzzah!
To the podcast.
No sparkle.
Oh my god!
To all the listeners, I'm still making a squinty face.
You guys are pansies.
This thing tastes like sugar came in its own mouth.
it's sugary. Have I just been eating bowls of granulated sugar for too long and I have no concept of what's in
the world? You know it's bad when your palate cleanser is a giant
I get some more water.
Oh, I feel so fresh and clean.
I'm getting high on laughter.
And you're going to hit your head soon.
Yes,
well.
Please, take this away from me. Never let me see it again.
Thank you, Rob.
I don't know what it is about podcasts.
I'm not thanking Rob at all.
Okay. Blood buddy of the podcast, Rob.
Okay,
Schreiber.
Now that we've all joined a cult, let's continue the podcast.
Yeah, right?
I want to talk about how I feel after joining the cult now.
Here's what's up. I love Sherlock Holmes so much. I'm really afraid of the movie that's coming out, but that's neither here nor there. Sherlock Holmes Hardcover, Volume 1. This is what's up. Sherlock finds himself involved in a mystery that has him fighting for his very life, and Watson putting the pieces together to either save his friend or condemn him. Could be pretty cool. I am generally apprehensive of people reinventing Arthur Conan Doyle's stuff.
I feel like it was sort of, like, the way it was described, it seemed like it was more like this is being, like, this is the book being illustrated by,
That could be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. We'd have to look at it in the book.
That's been done. I think this is, this will be new plots, Sherlock Holmes plots. And I'm all for that, as long as they don't try to make it into, like, mainstream comic book Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. Because the cool thing about that is that Sherlock Holmes is just really egotistical and incredibly smart, and Watson follows him around and supports
him. And how much
is
that as well?
Sherlock Holmes Hardcover Volume 1 is $16.99.
Okay.
And for the hardcover.
Tiny sidebar. This will be quick. Have you guys seen the trailer for the new Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr.?
I've seen several.
I want to see that.
I just want to point out there's a scene where Robert Downey Jr. says, "Well, there's no time to waste," and then dives out of a fucking window.
Yeah. About that, that's kind of bullshit, but I'm going to see the movie anyway.
You gotta look at it with some optimism. I mean,
I have to. That's the only way.
I mean, they wouldn't have given him the job if they didn't think he was happy.
I said that about Guy Ritchie's
the most recent trailer I saw was for The Prisoner, which looks pretty badass.
Let me say this: Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law look like they will kick ass. Mm-hmm. However, they do not look like they will kick ass necessarily as Sherlock Holmes and Dr.
I think
Watson.
This is going to be one of those things where I was doubting Heath Ledger's capability as the Joker until I saw it.
That's true.
I think, it's Downey Jr. and it's Jude Law.
Yeah.
They are fucking amazing. Give them a shot.
Okay.
Well, Jude Law even pulled off a series of unfortunate events.
Tangent rattle.
Rattle, guys.
Oh, God. Swirling.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's a podcast. Thank God we didn't get off on a tangent.
Suck it!
Okay.
Yes.
Moving along.
Yeah. The other pick. I also have one other pick actually called Electropop. Electropolis trade paperback. It's
Electropopolis.
Is it like an electric version of Metropolis? Because I love the film.
Not really. It's basically it's
silent.
The main character is called Menlo Park, and he is a reprogrammed janitor robot working as a private eye in the neon streets of Electra City.
Of course.
Wait, you just said a private eye working the neon streets of Electra City.
Working as a private eye on the neon streets.
Okay. What the fuck?
Yeah.
He's a reprogrammed janitor.
Dude, you lied. No. A computer wrote that. Yeah. A computer wrote that.
You light a candle in that town, they won't know what the fuck you're doing.
What trickery is this?
What witchcraft? What do you bring into this household?
Blasphemer!
Eldritch blasphemer!
It's a really interesting plot, though, because...
Fire sticks!
Like basically, the plot is like 16 years after the apparent suicide of his human partner atop the World Solace Tower, a blonde femme fatale gives Menlo and some new information about the cause of death.
And, okay, look, I'm sorry. I love noir. I love sci-fi noir. Yeah. It might be the combination of two of my favorite genre fictions ever.
And it seems
that sounds derivative and autistic.
You never know what happens, honestly. You know.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, it sounds like it has a learning disability.
Yeah, it's kind of like... I would like to see it have potential.
I like the design for the robot itself on the front cover. It looks kind of interesting.
It looks like Silver Age Iron
Man. It has potential to be shit.
Sam, when you said I love noir, I was kind of tempted to say
I also love
Sin City.
If it's Jason Chaskin, we shouldn't let him in.
That is our rundown for.
Well, not yet. It's basically I still have to go over prices. We forgot like four of the actual comics we talked about that we liked. You know,
all right. Sherlock Holmes is $16.99.
Yeah, this Electropolis. I'm interested about. It's $15. And then the Escapist, the soft cover of that is $16. And then Insomnia Cafe hardcover is $15. Actually, that's nice. Hardcover for $15. And then most expensive award, Terror Inc. First is $15.
Let's see, what is? I don't know. I'm trying to look for the most expensive.
Well, the most expensive is my pick. Is one of my picks actually Criminal Omnibus, which is hardcover, and that's $50. So that's the most expensive.
That's a big pig.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because it is only three volumes, but you also get a...
I can't ever imagine spending $50 on, like, a thing with only one, like, a book with only one spine. Like, I mean, like, I don't want to spend $50 on a book, you know?
With one spine? Yeah,
well, this is...
Well, you spend $50 on three small books.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, total.
Okay, just say it. Just
do you guys want pizza?
Yes.
That's why we're asking the question. Jeez.
Oh. Sure. I don't know what. I didn't know what you
want
pizza.
Thanks, Carol, for considering us, even though we're doing the podcast.
Podcast. I
was going to. But why does this mean pizza?
We send you kisses, Carolyn. Mwah, 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 mwah.
I send you waves, Carolyn.
Wave.
I send you doves.
Anything non-threatening, I
say. Because if I send a kiss, it's weird.
Not really.
I send you Ben with awesome.
You grabbed her boob. You can
you
kiss
did.
Her.
She made me.
that breast was forced on me.
Yeah, it was her fault.
She hit me in the hand with her breast.
You all saw it.
Or heard it.
Heard of it.
Yeah, okay. Basically, Criminal Omnibus, though, it's $50, but it also includes a criminal short story and a never-before-printed five-page movie trailer in comics form that Brubaker and Phillips created to announce the series online. And illustrations, selected articles, behind-the-scenes looks, and which seems interesting. You know, it seems like that's a little nice extra stuff. Blowjob, yes. You get a blowjob when you buy this book.
Seriously, though, dude, about those shots of blood, if I go outside tomorrow and the sun is hitting me and I start fucking sparkling, I'm going to kick somebody's ass.
Yeah.
Of course, now I'm a pussy vampire and probably couldn't.
You'd have too much angst.
They like the show, Sam?
You know, I don't know. I couldn't say for sure. I hope they do.
I mean, like, people occasionally tell us that they listened to the show and they liked it, but I mean, did they really like it?
Did they really?
Did you guys really like it?
If you did really like it, you should consider leaving a comment on our blog.
Or leaving a rating for us on iTunes.
Either one of these equally acceptable routes to demonstrate your love for our voices.
Exactly.
And opinions.
Our smooth, sultry voices.
Okay, so... As you've heard, we are reviewing Ultimates Volume 1 today.
Yeah!
Yay!
One of the greatest comics of all time. Hands down. One of the best.
You're ruining the surprise ending.
Here. At the very end, Samuel Jackson says, "This is the best comic book of all time. Read it."
There's like a little video.
Spoiler alert, it's awesome.
So let's open up the discussion.
Yeah.
What makes this so fucking?
Well, first
awesome?
Of all, let's just actually explain what the Ultimates is. The Ultimates, like the whole Ultimate Universe, was actually created by Marvel to sort of like a.
Hey, we're gonna restart some things with like a different, like a more of a modernized.
And we're gonna make it connected. Like,
they make
everything.
It realistic and modern.
And they also like what I think they do that's best about this is they connect everything together.
Yes, everything.
It's not
is
like
course.
Oh, they have included this new character that happens to have it. It's like.
Oh,
okay,
they include
this
alternate universe.
Is it Ultimates? It's continuity. The end.
Yeah.
And everything is tied together, and it's so
and it works
well
so much better.
Done.
It's, yeah.
And the Ultimates
not only
is
their continuity,
basically
but
the
well
Avengers.
Continuity.
Yeah. It's well written. All of it's well written, except for Ultimates 3, which in my opinion never happened.
We're not talking...
We don't talk about that, Aaron.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
That was a good slap. I like
the Ultimates. Well, I started getting back into reading comics. The Ultimates was really the book that just kicked things off.
Yeah, actually, I gotta say, I did not know. Like, I was not reading that many comics at the time, and it was kind of funny because Aaron was the one who I was like, "You got to read this." And
it was one of the comics that got me into comics.
You've been really one of the people that like it's you've so described some things and then that actually sort of ruined the actual like kind of attempt to actually read it. Then, like, I've talked to you about
sorry.
About the Deadpool. Like,
it's a funny
about,
George Bush picture.
Yeah. About Deadpool. Like, the way you explain Deadpool on the piano.
I'm sorry if I make things awesome.
Yeah, you make it too awesome where the actual original thing.
You want me to get you a
t-shirt
that says, "I'm sorry I make things awesome"?
I think I should just get that tattoo.
Yeah.
Like a
I'm sorry if I awesomed up your shit.
You get the tattoo on your chest and then you get the t-shirt, you know, the part that tattooed as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever that meant.
So anyway, back to Ultimate Universe. Yes. Ultimates.
This is basically Ultimates. The
is
Ultimate
the Ultimate Universe
is the Avengers.
Avengers. Yes.
So you have the kind of, and it's not like the Avengers we know today. It's yeah.
So you know you have your core members. You have Captain America,
and that is
Iron
what, like,
Man,
basically kind of when the
Giant
Avengers
Man
came
slash Ant Man. You have the
Thor.
Wasp. You have Thor. Yeah.
Ultimate Thor.
Who's that hippie? Ultimate Thor's a hippie.
Yes,
genius.
And this is where it really gets
hippie.
Good because Thor's a hippie, so that's something new. And Captain America's a badass and not like a Boy Scout.
And
which
he's
is
old.
And he's old and cool. And so he's like the new shit. And then the Wasp. Still useless.
When the Ultimates with Giant Man is interesting. When they're by themselves, they're kind of not so much.
No.
I will say Giant Man is actually a very interesting character, personally.
The Wasp, even though she doesn't take center stage on the team, she's still like a very interesting and engaging character.
She's a great character. She's a great character. The one thing that she does in the book that's like tactically useful in a fight is she shows the Hulk her tits.
No,
she says as much as, like, I don't think my stupid little fucking wasp sting is going to do anything against this guy. That's right, because it's never done anything.
Well, don't worry. It's not like Marvel got back at her or anything.
Okay, I feel like you guys are just forgetting the fact that she does defeat the Hulk.
Well,
is that the fact
she helps defeat the Hulk? Captain America kicks him in the nuts.
Yeah,
so that's after he's been
guys, I think we agree team effort on that one.
Team effort.
Yeah.
Good job, team. You did good. I'm gonna get you a pizza and some cupcakes.
Ultimates.
And you get behind a mountain.
Oh, and the top
red. Who wants Code Red?
Oh, and to top it all off, I'll kick Bruce Banner in the face for you.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
What I really like about Ultimates is Ultimate Spider-Man. We can all agree was a great book.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. One of the best ongoings of all time.
Yes. The Ultimates felt like it just upped the stakes of the universe so much, though.
That's
true. Ultimate Spider-Man
there was
so
a level of realism. More
started off with Bendis's Ultimate Spider-Man and Millar's Ultimate X-Men, and those were cool books.
Ultimate X-Men and Ultimate Fantastic Four happened at the same time.
Really?
Yes, they did.
I didn't know that.
They ended at the same time. They ended at issue 100, both of them.
Yep.
I didn't even know Ultimate Fantastic Four went that far.
No.
I haven't been able to find the
But Ultimate now. Spider-Man, it felt a little... like what was good about it was it felt really personal. It was kind of like the adventures as one kid. But on the Ultimates, everything happens on such a worldwide scale. And as you're reading it, trade is the perfect way to read it. Cause,
the characters grow. No one's really left behind. Like, even though Wasp is quote-unquote useless, she still develops as a character, as everyone else does.
Which
the
made
story.
The thing that happened so fucking enraging all the more, because, like, these characters, like, which is kind of fucking amazing in a Mark Millar book, you actually learn to care about them.
You even care about
I'm
Tony
like,
Stark.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the interesting thing is this is a, this is a book about a team of superheroes where, the basically, the villains are themselves. The only people they're fighting is each other, and I think that's an awesome way to write it, like a team book.
For one reason that's a major plot point, so we won't reveal it, but scholars of the relationship between the Wasp and Giant Man will know what the direction this is taking. But there's that particular reason.
Giant Man is basically an ass in the Ultimate Universe, as much as he is an ass in the.
The way they take that character and put him in the Ultimate Universe, very modest. I thought he was such an interesting character.
And then he has to go on the run. And then I think this is this exemplifies what you were saying. He has to run away from the team, so he's incommunicado. But Captain America finds him, and he wastes all these resources that S.H.I.E.L.D. has and that the Ultimate has. And they need the Captain over doing actually useful things, but he's busy kicking the shit out of Giant Man, which is fun and cathartic for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, winds up being
I've always
good
wanted
for him
to beat up
end.
A 50-foot-tall naked man.
Yeah.
Well,
who among us hasn't?
Yeah.
Well, I think,
honestly,
like,
if given the opportunity.
I will show you one day, big guy.
The thing that was so shocking about, like, the Giant Man kind of, I wouldn't say heel turn, but, like, you'll know what happens when you're
kind of the level, like, kind of the level of intensity.
Issue 5,
let's say.
The thing so shocking about issue 5 is that Giant Man's kind of evilness doesn't really come out until then. It's kind of a realistic.
It kind of just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah,
like,
what happens is legitimately shocking.
I mean,
evil though. It's just
he's got
problems.
He's insecure,
and he's a little too human to be a superhuman.
Yes, right. He's human,
and that's why Ultimates works.
He's incredibly
if it was a heel turn, he wouldn't have regretted what he did.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have run away
or tried to make up for. The thing is,
I said heel turn for lack of
a
turn.
With the thing is that I love about Ultimates, there are no bad guys, good guys. There are always so many dumb things like, I'm going to commit a robbery because I'm a robber.
Yeah, and then
I'm going to look at my gigantic mustache as
I'm
going to
stop you because I have a nice combed set of hair and a cape,
but,
and I have
shiny
teeth.
And the thing
feet.
Is, though, when there are villains, they are fucking villains, and it's like... Yeah.
But they
it's,
all have their own reasons and all in their heads, like Ultimate Universe. In real life, there's no such thing as an evil person. There isn't. No one does anything because, like, this would be evil. And Ultimate Universe gets that.
Yeah.
And that's what's so amazing about that comic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you have, like...
And you go to root for these characters, you go, oh my god,
you
I can't believe
who the main villain
characters.
Is, like, kind of the main villain for
no,
the first thought?
No, not. That's not.
Okay.
But I'll say, we can talk
they
about...
They are kind of popular right
but
now.
But we can
that's,
talk
something
about...
We can talk, that's something we should... Like, they're sort of...
If we continue...
They're released recently. That's all.
Okay.
Well, let's say it remains relevant.
It's sort of secret.
Yeah. But I also want
to
talk about how Ultimate Hulk is portrayed, because not only are you doing the Ultimate Avengers, he throws Ultimate Hulk in there as well.
Yeah.
And... I enjoy the character. I'm shocked by the character, but I also sympathize with the character.
But yeah, he's a baby.
It is awesome.
He's
like
a 20,000-foot baby. You know, it's someone who has a. But the thing is, that
he
I love about Ultimates. The thing is that I love about Ultimates that Ultimate Spider-Man always talks about. With great power comes great responsibility, and not everybody in the Ultimates that has great power. Can own up to the responsibility that needs. And
like
that's
even
they're so human and so perfect.
Like,
that's why I love it.
You do feel sympathy for the Hulk, but there are fucking repercussions for his actions, and he deserves.
Oh, absolutely!
Like,
yeah, he
deserves to be locked up for them. Like simply,
oh, absolutely.
Like,
for every.
But that's
for
why.
Time,
but the thing is, that's why you feel bad for him.
For every time the Hulk.
Yeah,
has,
we're
like,
talking about this. So it's just basically what happens in the. Like,
do not.
Let's just say
the Hulk is Bruce Banner superpowered without the ability to control his impulses.
Basically, there is no Hulk at the beginning of the Ultimates. The Hulk is created during the Hulk, like Ultimates.
He was originally an Ultimate Spider-Man.
Bruce Banner was like the Hulk, in
this Ultimates though, like they say,
Bruce Banner brings back the Hulk intentionally this time.
Yeah, he brings him back intentionally, and that's what like. Basically,
so
he forces the team to actually kind of fight him instead.
Which is what I kind of feel bad for the guy. Because not only that, because beforehand, he's getting, like, his ass ripped open by everybody else on the team.
Yeah, he's he's being teased by everyone.
Why, who do you
like,
think? Hank Pym.
But I just wanted to focus on the scenes with the Hulk. Even those are, like, for every line that the Hulk has about... Oh, I'm just... this just make Hulk hornier for Betty. And everything, and all these like morally just disturbing.
Yeah, that was really creepy.
He's fucked up, creepy. Yeah, well, scenes,
it's got
lines.
It's more of a modernized Jekyll Hyde kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
And then yeah. But then you have there's that one panel of the Hulk hanging off of a helicopter.
Yeah.
And screaming about how Betty's the only thing that Banner has left.
And I think the thing with Betty and Banner is that, like, you know, it like she like it is sort of like
she's
you don't blame him for like well, like you know being Hulk when it's like. She is a fucking bitch, and like you know, then she's like, and she, this whole turnaround from her at the end is like, well, yeah, you should have thought of that when you were a fucking bitch. Yeah.
Let me just say, as a word of warning to Bruce Banner, I don't really know where Ultimate Bruce Banner goes from after here, but I would like to have a retroactive pause to say, Bruce, please do not stick it in the crazy. Nothing good can come of this, and she is obviously out of her goddamn
mind. That's
heart.
Really what this podcast is all about. Kids, don't stick it in the crazy.
Yeah.
You never know when you'll kill people, let you know.
A public service announcement from the Mild Mannered Podcast.
That's good. It was on the hour. We had to get that done.
Yeah.
The FCC might shut us down.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Thank God we're a podcast and not a radio.
Here's a panel right here.
Yeah, there's a
and also
screaming,
don't
leave Banner.
Yeah, and what we are reviewing as well is just the full Ultimates 1. There's like kind of,
yeah.
I know, Aaron, you were giving me the Ultimates originally when you were introducing it to me in the first volumes 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this collection, I think, is $40 or $30? I can't remember.
Yeah, I have the price right here, $30.
$30, and it's...
Well, $48 if you live in Canada land.
Yeah.
Who does that anymore?
Question, have you guys been reading any of the Ultimate Avengers now that's been picked up again by Mark Millar?
Yes.
I'm excited. I'm waiting for it to come out in trade, so don't spoil anything there.
I won't spoil anything, okay. But I just, like, even though the characters in the Ultimates were at times horrible, you did sometimes feel, you often felt sympathy for them, and you cared about them, and you wanted them to get out of these horrible situations. It's kind of lost its feeling that in the new Ultimates relaunch, everyone is just fucking unsympathetic. Like,
really? I don't take that at all.
Really? I just, like, at the point of that book, I was just like, these people can beat the shit out of each other. I don't fucking care. Like, they're...
Like, and Captain America is still the same, but, like, I don't know. I'm drawn in by it, and I'm looking forward to seeing how...
Right, no, I'm still interested in it, but, like Nick Fury, I always did like how he's kind of morally reprehensible, but this new relaunch just takes it to... fucking 11.
I disagree.
Really?
I do not feel that.
Also, Hawkeye looks so stupid.
Oh, straight!
I have been the most vocal critic on this podcast of Mark Millar, and pretty
yes,
much everything he does, except for a select couple of things.
I do enjoy
some of his things. I read American Jesus, which was neat.
Yeah.
The Ultimates is my favorite thing by Mark Millar. It's funny because, like, Millar on the Ultimates and Millar on the Authority is kind of like the same thing. Because when he writes a team book like this, when everyone is in the spotlight like this, it's like everyone has the same thoughts on being suddenly in the spotlight. And suddenly we're all living to excess. And we're all, everybody's really invested in
going
really
out
and like clubbing and having a high society life and hooking up with people like in the scenes and hooking up with celebrities because all of a sudden that's an option where it wasn't before. And like that sort of descent into the slow descent in. Really?
Yeah, okay. Just keep going.
That slow descent sort of into excess and is an interesting thing, but I feel like it sort of becomes just a stagnant theme sometimes, and that is the only critique that I have of Millar.
And honestly, if that's your only critique, if it's just sort of a stagnant theme across the two books, then just pick one to read and just enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of
and
it's
enjoy
sort of
the
kind of interesting thing. It's like, you know,
it's not like a 60-issue series. It's too many.
No, I definitely can still enjoy it. It's just
that's
like...
That's right. It's too many, not three. It is
right.
Too many. Yes.
Only two.
But given that this is like, it's just so ingrained within the culture of the team.
Yeah.
I feel like.
And I think that
their interactions.
It's not just ingrained, but I think it deepens a lot of the things because, you know, you said before that Captain America is really old, And it's something that you they've kind of ignored about the fact in the 616
universe.
And the kind of the original Marvel universe where it's like, he's had this hero. It's basically, they've kind of been making him in comics for so long that they've kind of that was never a big issue. It's like, 20 years has passed by.
Because they thawed him out, in the 60s.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is strange, but all right, it's time to fight for the American way. And now there's a really huge time gap, and there's a problem here.
And I love that's sort of an issue, which I think is great.
I did feel
he has this old gym that all his friends go to.
Yeah.
And he has the lodge, which I think is the funniest thing to think of that.
What I loved is, one thing I will say, my favorite lists of comics, comics that I will always, unconditionally bat for, and, if there's ever a bad issue of them, I'll say, just wait, because it's going to get good. And that's X-Factor. That's Ultimate Spider-Man, and that's the Ultimates. Ultimates 2 is the greatest. Ultimates 2, Ultimate Spider-Man, and X-Factor are the three greatest comics I've ever read, along with Whedon's run on Astonishing X-Men. But, And Straczynski's run on Amazing Spider-Man.
DC New Frontier.
Before we finish. What I will say is, to read Ultimates 2, read Ultimates 1, then go read Ultimates 2.
So would you say
Ultimates
2
is one of the most... Ultimates 2...
We're reviewing Ultimates 1.
Yeah, I love Ultimates 1. But I love Ultimates 2 better.
And stay away from Ultimates 3.
And Ultimates 3 doesn't happen.
Doesn't exist.
If you see it on the shelf, it's a mirage. Don't even touch it.
Go look at it. Ultimate Comics.
Go to Ultimate Comics.
Ultimate Comics.
Yes.
Avengers.
And before we finish up, I know we've talked a lot about Mark Millar, but I just want to give a shout out to Brian Hitch's art.
Yeah, Brian Hitch is fantastic.
I love the realistic style. And
he gets a lot of flack for that. He gets so much flack for doing a couple of days' growth of stubble on Hank Pym. There is some of the things that people.
That's what I do it's just the easiest way to do stubble.
Yeah, no, but I think that's really cool. But some people that isn't their thing.
Although admittedly,
I
was not a fan of Hawkeye's the Hawkeye hair. But other than that,
I like it
because I think it works. If you factor in, because I didn't pick up on this the first time, but if you factor in that, his backstory, that he's an Olympic archer. And that he was, so that's if you picture him on an Olympic arching range, whatever the fuck that looks like, and just picture him in some sort of athletic gear and some Adidas shorts.
Yeah, I know.
And a polo shirt.
Yeah.
Arching with a vaguely shaven head, so I think it makes more sense now. It does look kind of weird in a skin tight suit. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's sort of.
It's kind of incongruous.
But I just think overall his artwork matches the finesse and precision of his artwork definitely matches Mark Millar's heavy writing for this story.
I'll go you one further.
Okay,
I will go. Every part of the character that Hitch portrays in his pencils reflects characterization. Look at this splash page we're looking at right now. It has Hank Pym and Steve Rogers right behind him putting his hand on his shoulder. Steve Rogers looks like Captain America in his fucking hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hank Pym looks strung out in his hair.
Yeah.
Who does that? I'll answer that. Nobody does.
He looks like a Fisher.
The one problem with Mark Millar, and it's something that, you know what, it's worth it, because his art style is so detailed. Brian Hitch. Because his art style is so detailed, it takes forever for every new issue to come out.
Yeah.
But you're getting a trade. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would have really liked to have been in the loop when Ultimates was being published. Just to be part of that sort of what is going to happen.
One of the issues that got me into comics was Ultimates 2, number 10. And then.
Yes.
I got,
Yeah.
And then.
Keep going with this pattern. Experiencing
Ultimates 13, the big climax, it just was beautiful.
Keep going.
Alex Erdy is cheering on a girl walking around in her underwear.
Who's trying
There's
to distract
pattern.
Us.
I There's know. A pattern. I know. And I'm fine with being distracted.
Who are nerds now? Who are nerds now?
You're nerds for listening to a nerd podcast.
Right.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
You loser.
So, and that, I guess that's one question we can hit before we give our final review.
were we happy with getting the whole trade, or would we have preferred to get it, like, monthly issue?
Oh, God.
I get the trades.
Get the whole trade.
I will say get the trades because you want to read them again and again and again and again and again. And they hold up better than issues.
And there's a reason why each issue is separated by the word chapter 3 and chapter 4. Because they are chapters of a single story. Even though they're two separate arcs.
And also, I gotta say, this is like a, like the comic itself, it's a fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It is.
It's
like,
very
cinematic. It is.
And that is why.
Like, yeah, it's why I like having
and
like,
if Avengers,
the full miniseries kind of issue.
Avengers... The movie follows Ultimates, the comic, and not the Avengers comic. We're gonna be okay with that movie, kids.
Hopefully, they,
even with the big blockbuster cast that will probably
I knew
have
as
issues later on.
I knew as soon as they actually got Samuel L. Jackson to do Nick Fury that they were going.
Well, that was a big joke as well. Like,
Samuel L. Jackson's gonna play me.
They basically when they are teasing him, they're sort of like.
Banner looks like Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, he looks like Steve Buscemi, and like
so
he walks in
and find out that he got Ed Norton. I got guy from Bike Club. I got guy from American History X.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah, but I think
okay,
he's
kick all of
but basically they actually asked. They actually you know they were told that you know Samuel L. Jackson is a fan of Marvel Comics, and they said, could we use you like you know your kind of your likeness in the comic. And they said, yeah, sure.
Like, hell yeah!
And basically, then they made a reference where it's like, who would you like to play you in a movie?
Oh, Mr. Samuel L. Jackson.
Of course.
What if Giant Man ends up getting played by Steve Buscemi? He just walks around the movie sad.
It's funny because it's...
You guys.
They would have to explain how he got a hot Asian girl to be his wife.
By the way,
one other thing. Ethnicities translated better by Brian Hitch.
Sometimes,
some comics you don't even know someone's Asian.
Yeah.
Like you know,
yeah,
it's just
no,
like it's they've got to mention
Ultimates
the fact that, like,
3 being one of them.
Yeah.
The Wasp.
So I guess we'll give our final like look at this, like your final word on Mark Millar and Brian Hitch's Ultimates,
exactly.
And we'll go around in a circle, starting with Aaron going clockwise. Aaron,
buy it.
Alex.
Oh, buy the full on trade. Even get the omnibus if you want, because if you haven't read this, if you don't know what the Ultimates is, I guess you know, look up the first issue or something, and then go get the fucking omnibus, which is actually I just checked it out. It's you can get it for $63 on Amazon, the hardcover of
that
the omnibus.
That is one thing I would spend over $50 on.
See, but that is two. That is two spines though.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my.
Buy it, girlfriend.
Thank you for that. This is a superhero comic written by Mark Millar, neither of which I'm particularly engaged in, and this is one of the things... This is a comic book that I can read over and over and over and over again. I go out and buy it. It's a great reason for comics to even exist.
You think the letter on my head stands for France?! That's all I have to say. I love the writing. I love the
artwork.
That's
right. Captain America's from Brooklyn.
Yep. And I will agree with everybody. Buy it.
You
buy
think
the
letter on my head stands for France, Chiquita?
Chiquita.
The Boston Captain America.
Boston Captain America. You gotta help me. Is that a Yankee hat on your head? It is.
Boosh!
Probably.
Fag, you've been helped. Now get yourself a real hat, Fag.
All the non-whites better get out of here.
On that note, that was Captain Real America.
That would be an awesome
Who wants to put a barbecue on my front lawn?
I'm Captain Glenn Beck's America.
Captain America 1602, that's like the sequel to that.
Where's Captain America? Where's my woman?
Where is your woman?
There's
your woman.
There's ham in the fridge, and it's not in a sandwich.
What's wrong
with this picture?
And that sums up this week of the Mile Man Podcast.
Do our guests have anything to say before we sign off?
Ham sandwich.
I'm in my underwear.
Oh, that's
and great. You wish you had a webcam.
I do. Let's see.
Yeah. I don't think Torment. Is
don't
really
mind. Do you mind?
Still see.
He's gonna webcam this.
I don't mind.
Can you let your guys drive me home? I'm blind.
There you go.
She's covering up.
That wasn't in the contract.
That wasn't in this vocal contract.
It's just funny. Like, well, I just thought it was a good idea. I think there should be a comic now about women.
Looks like Carolyn.
I'm just snapping camera phone photos now.
You should have been.
Looks like Carolyn doesn't want to be a star.
She's not wanting to go all the way. Suicide girls.
Seriously, I look like one in a coffin.
Wrapping it up!
Thank you for joining us on the Mild Mannered Podcast. Yeah. We will see you again next week.
Yeah, I'm Mild Mannered Photographer saying thank you, Mark Millar, for being my dad.
I'm the Mild Mannered Man on the Street, Sam Riel, saying Mark Millar, thanks for not sucking once in a while.
I'm Mild Mannered Music Man Mike Gilbert saying Hulk straight!
And we'll see you here next time on the Mild Mannered
Podcast. Hulk what, Maria!
Seriously, guys, Mark Millar is my dad. He said so. At a signing.
We believe you.
Sure he did.
He kept asking.
Sure he
kept,
did.
He thought it was Scott.
And he says you're a very special boy.
Wait a minute.
He just kept asking if my mom like knew
my mailman. Dad. Okay, come on.
City like a big playground when suddenly Batman burst from the shade and hit Godzilla with a bat grenade. Godzilla got pissed and began to attack, but didn't expect to be blocked by Shaq, who proceeded to open up a can of Shaq Fu when Aaron Carter came out of the blue and he started beating up Shaquille O'Neal. Then they both got flattened by the Batmobile, but before he could make it back to the Batcave, Abraham Lincoln popped out of his grave and took an AK-47 out from under his hat, blew Batman away with a rat-a-tat-tat, but he ran out of bullets and he ran away because Arthur is prime came to save the day. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny, good guys, bad guys, and explosions as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny. Took a bite out of crime, and then Shaq came back covered in a tire track, but Jackie Chan jumped out and landed on his back, and Batman was injured and trying to get steady when Abraham Lincoln came back with a machete, but suddenly something caught his leg and he tripped. Indiana Jones took him out with his whip. Then he saw Godzilla sneaking up from behind, then he reached for his gun, which he just couldn't find, cause Batman stole it and he shot and he missed, and Jackie Chan deflected it with his fist. Then he jumped in the air and he did a somersault while Abraham Lincoln tried to pull faults on the Optimus Prime, but they collided in the air. Then they both got hit by a Care Bear stare. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny, good guys, bad guys, and explosions as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown. Angels sang out in an immaculate chorus, down from the heavens descended Chuck Norris, who delivered a kick which could shatter bones into the crotch of Indiana Jones, who fell over on the ground, writhing in pain, as Batman changed back into Bruce Wayne. But Chuck saw through his clever disguise, and he crushed Batman's head in between his thighs. Then Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White and Monty Python and the Holy Grail's Black Knight and Benito Mussolini and the Blue Meanie and Cowboy Curtis and John B. the Genie, Robocop, the Terminator, Captain Kirk and Darth Vader, No Pan, Superman, every single Power Ranger, Bill S. Preston and Theodore Logan, Spock, The Rock, Doc Ock and Hulk Hogan all came out of nowhere lightning fast, and they kicked Chuck Norris in his cowboy ass. It was the bloodiest battle that the world ever saw, with civilians looking on a total loss. Raged on for a century, many lives were claimed, but eventually the champion stood, the rest saw the better, Mr. Rogers in a bloodstained sweater. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny, good guys, bad guys, and explosions, as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown.
Let's do it.
I think we should skip through.
Love it.
It's, you know,
you're killing me, Alex. You're killing me.
I'm sorry, but you've seen, you know how the room is already. You've seen up, you know, we can't pause and do the all right, guys, let's go over, you know, the two of maybe them are not going to...
Maybe in a little bit. Hey.
Sorry, but it's true.
Don't fuck you, Chops.
That's mutton chops to you, sir.
Who do you think you're fooling with your neon green fedora? Oh, that's also plaid somehow.
You know what I want to do to Black Bolt? Wait, is this recording?
Yeah.
I want to go, hey, Black Bolt, lollipop, lollipop, ooh, lolly. I'm going,
hey, Black Bolt,
lollipop, stop!
You're really going to kill, it's like, that's, if you want to commit suicide, sure, do that.
Hey, Black Bolt,
if you want to be ripped apart, do.
Hey, Black Bolt, you seen that Discovery Channel commercial? Oh, what is it? God damn it, I fucked up this joke.
Hey, Black Bolt.
Yeah, fucked it up, okay?
Hey, Black Bolt, loser says what? Hey, Black Bolt, it's like we finish each other's sentences.
Okay, it's 11:57, so let's finish this review.
All right, I'll just, like, start off, like, a couple
the Durso dance.
Like a sentence or
yeah, okay, go.
Okay.
Just go, you know.
Yeah, I'll keep it.